Please welcome Bill Gates.
Well, we'll go without a mic for a couple minutes here until they get that working. Can you hear me okay in the back? All right, good. I got a big voice. We'll see if we can keep it big. Raise your hand if your parents have children. That's my alertness test first thing in the morning. Right? Some of you had some pretty early rises this morning. Think back when you're 9, 10, 11 years old, growing up in your neighborhood. Anybody sell anything door-to-door growing up? Yeah, we all did. Did we not? I was a Cub Scout, Kensington, Maryland, pack 456, then two. You've heard of us. We had to raise money for the pack, so somebody decided we were going to have a sales contest. And what were we going to sell? Magazine subscriptions? No. Tickets to the Boy Scout Jamboree? No. We had the incredible privilege going door-to-door in our neighborhood selling furnace filters. Pretty exciting product, huh? And a little Cub Scout that sold the most furnace filters in 5 days will win a brand new royal blue 26-inch 10-speed Schwinn Varsity. Man, I wanted that. Some of you know back then, 10-speed Schwinn, king of all the bikes. I'd be the first kid in my neighborhood to actually own a 10-speed. I was so excited, I ran downstairs to my mother's hamper and got some clothespins, ran upstairs to my father's dresser and got some playing cards, put the cards and clothespins out where I could see them every day to visualize my success. What was I going to do with them? Put them on the spokes, four in front, four in the back, my motor. July 16th, 1960, the hottest day of the year, the furnace filter samples arrived. And there's Billy Case dressed up in his newly pressed Cub Scout uniform, trimmed in gold, gold kerchief, beanie hat, furnace filter samples tucked under my arms, order forms tucked under my arm. My mother pushes me out the front door like a mother bird pushes the baby out of their nest for their first flight. Cold calling, door to door. You know, growing up in your neighborhood is usually a pretty friendly place, right? You can start to sell something. Went up one side of the street, no luck, no sales. Down the other side, no luck. So I started to get a little discouraged. And I was afraid to knock on the next door. I was terrified to knock on the next door. That's where Mr. Bill Wilkes lived. Friends of the family, but to me, the ogre of the neighborhood. Did you have an ogre growing up in your neighborhood? Most of us did, right? And ours was Bill Wilkes, not because he was 6'5 and had a big booming voice, because his house was at the end of the street next to the dead end. We played a lot of baseball on that dead end. Third base was on his property. He didn't care for that. Messed up his grass, right? We never had to worry about what inning we were in. We just kept track of runs. Whoever had the most runs when Mr. Wilkes came home from work won the game, because we were out of there. There I was, hoping Mrs. Wilkes would answer the door. Knock, knock, large shadow fills the doorway.
What are you doing here, Billy Case?
Selling furnace filters for the Cub Scouts. You don't want one, do you? Pretty good closing line, huh?
I don't know. Might take a couple. You got the right size. Coming in, let's measure.
The ogre, the neighbor, was being nice to me. Brought me in, sat me down, measured the furnace. I had the right size. He ordered two. My first sale. Never forget that. I was going to win that Schwinn, right? Then he asked me a question I never heard before, and frankly, we'll never forget. And we'll see if Mr. Wilkes is on the microphone.
Billy Cates. Oh, he's there. Going door to door, not an easy thing. Tell me, son, what's your closing ratio? Let me put it this way, Billy. How many houses have you been to? How many sales have you made? Oh, 10 houses is my first sale, 10%. Not bad for cold calling. Would you like to do better? Of course, I did. I got my first sales training at the age of 9, selling furnace filters as a Cub Scout from, turns out, very successful salesperson, Mr. Bill Wilkes, and this is what he told me. Billy Cates, when you're done here, go across the street to the D'Angelo's. Tell them I sent you there. Tell them I bought two. Find out who their neighbor is and keep repeating the process. Well, I was excited. I finally had a strategy. I ran across the street. Mrs. D'Angelo answered the door. Hi, this is Billy Cates up the street selling furnace filters for the Cub Scouts. Mr. Wilkes just bought two and said I should talk to you. How many would you like? A little better, huh? She bought two. Sent me to the Jacobsons. Jacobsons bought two. Murphy's bought two. Yee's bought two. Terman's bought two. Klein's bought two. I was selling furnace filters 5 days straight, and I want a new set of wheels. And thank you. And that was the beginning of a very long mentor-mentee relationship between little Billy Cates and Mr. Bill Wilkes, the ogre of the neighborhood. I learned a lot from Mr. Wilkes. I want to share with you a few things I learned from him and some other folks along the way. Right? Everything we learn from someone else, don't we? I learned that to be successful in whatever you want to do in your life, business, personal, you got to want it bad enough, right? If you don't want it bad enough, you won't do what it takes. That's why a lot of people don't succeed in this business, because they don't quite have that burning desire. The bumps hit, The tough times hit, right? Some of you quit every day for the first year, right? But you had that burning desire to keep going, didn't you? And so that's what it takes to be successful in this business. But it also takes strategy and knowledge and methods, and that's what I'm going to be giving you here this morning. And in my breakout at 1:30, we'll also go deep into some of the strategies. I also learned from Mr. Wilkes that the success we achieve in our life is really based on our beliefs, what we believe is possible. Some of you are familiar with Napoleon Hill's work, what the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve. And I think that's really true, because if we don't believe something's possible, we won't go there with our thoughts, with our actions, will we? Right? If it's just kind of a dream, but we don't see ourselves getting there, we can't visualize it, we won't make it happen. Right? Whenever I hit a plateau in my own business, I realize that there's something wrong with my belief. There's something I'm not seeing and believing enough. And I have to create that vision for my next level of success, and then I have to believe I can get there. So I don't know what your next level of success looks like for you. I hope you have a clear sense of what that is. I think the worst thing you can say to yourself is, I want to get to the next level, without knowing what that next level actually means for you. Those are kind of empty words. But when you get clear about that, and then you have a sense of what it's going to take to get there, then you start to take the action, right? Mr. Wills told me this, very powerful, I never forgot this, is the two keys to success in business are knowing more and doing more. I created my success and wealth because I never stopped learning and I never stopped acting. And that's why you're here today, isn't it, right? Because you're here because you know you should never stop learning, and hopefully you'll take the ideas that you learn from me and everyone else that speaks here and act on them, right? Because the ideas are worthless unless what? Unless you take action on them, right? Knowledge is not power. Acting on knowledge is power, right? So you work hard to serve your clients, do you not? You work very hard. So that means to me you're sitting on a gold mine of opportunity. You have a gold mine of opportunity for referrals, for personal introductions, for word of mouth. And I found that most financial professionals do not tap into that gold mine as well as they could. They do not leverage the strong relationships that they've formed. And so that's what I'll talk about. Do you have a referral gap, right? Is there a gap between where you are and where you'd like to be in terms of your ability to generate referrals and personal introductions? And you're going to hear me use the word referrals and personal introductions kind of interchangeably this morning, but what I'm really talking about is personal introductions, right? We need to get connected these days, do we not? Walking away with names and phone numbers and hoping to reach those people on the phone, it's just really hard to reach people these days. And so we're really talking about those personal introductions, right? So are you bringing in enough clients? Are you bringing in enough of the right kind of clients, right? What does your gap look like? Are you getting personal introductions without asking for them? Everyone in this room, myself included, should be getting referrals, introductions, without asking for them. If you're not, there could be something missing. We'll get to more of that in just a second, right? Are you confident in approaching people for referrals, right? Or is there a gap maybe in your confidence, right? And what's the gap costing you? Let's do it. Let's do just a little quick little math. Don't worry, not much. What does it cost? What is your cost per lead? What does it cost you to get in front of a prospect? Have you ever calculated it? Have you ever figured it out? Have you ever taken the time, the money that you spend on marketing and leads and trade shows and mailings and whatever it is you do to get in front of people, have you ever calculated what it actually costs to get in front of someone? And my guess is if you do this work, you'll realize it costs a little more than you think. And so every business, your business, my business, every business needs to pay attention to the cost per lead. What does it cost for me to get in front of someone, right? What does it cost to get in front of a referral prospect? It's not a rhetorical question. Somebody answer me. No. Nothing, right? Virtually nothing. Maybe a little courage if you haven't asked in the past. Maybe a little thank you something if you want. But that's about it, right? So we want to bring our cost per lead to close to zero. And then what is the lifetime value of a client? Have you ever measured that? Do you know what your average client or your A clients, what you can earn over a lifetime? And if you think about these two things, you realize that's what your referral gap could be costing you, right? That's the money you're not making, the people you're not serving, right? It's not just the money. It's the people we serve, right? They go hand in hand. And that's what the referral gap looks like, right? You could be missing a lot of big opportunities. I want to help you close that referral gap today. That's my job. That's my mission, is to help you close that gap. Please remember this. Cold calls are God's punishment for failure to get enough referrals. Right? If there's anybody here stuck in cold call hell, then just, you know, come to me. I'll help you. I'll do my best. All right. So what are the benefits of working for personal introductions? You probably know these on some level, but let's talk about it as a group a little bit here, right? So we talked about this, the cost per lead approaches zero. Is it easier to reach referral prospects? Yeah, so your life gets a little easier. Do you start out at a higher level of trust? I think you do, right? We have to show up trustworthy, don't we? We have to. We're kind of selling an intangible. We're selling a product that most people don't understand. We're selling a relationship that they don't quite know what that's going to look like. And so we have to start at the highest point of trust we possibly can. When you come in at a high level of trust, and I know you've seen this, what happens? People follow your recommendations better, don't they? They're more likely to listen to you and do what you suggest to them because you came in at a higher level of trust. Sales cycle is usually shorter when you're working from referrals. Case size is usually larger. Limmer did a study on life insurance, and the average case size for a life insurance sale from referrals is twice that as any other lead source. So if you just want to double your income in life sales, just start getting more referrals, right? Because your case size is going to double, right? And then every part of your sales process works better, right? Because you're seeing people in the most favorable way. And referrals beget referrals. Studies have shown that a client that comes into a practice through a referral is twice as likely to give referrals than if they met you through another methodology. So what happens is over time, as you bring more and more people in through the referral process, momentum gets created and takes on a life of its own. And it gets easier and easier and easier. And of course, it's the most fun way to do business, right, if you think about it. So the benefits of doing this. I'm going to share with you as we go a little bit some folks and businesses as well as individuals who are having some success with the strategies that I teach. And I do this because I want you to see what I'm talking about. This is not just theory, pie in the sky. I didn't just make this stuff up one day, right? This works. And I want you to, what I'm trying to sell to you this morning is the idea of taking action on this, right? And making sure that you close that referral gap. So Vince Arena, he says, you made a believer out of me. He says, 3 months since our Salesforce learned your system, we've been able to eliminate $450,000 in annual telemarketing. Plus, we've experienced an unprecedented increase in growth. Right? They cut out $450,000 of telemarketing costs, and they had their best month ever just by working through referrals. Right? That's more profitable business, is it not? And down to the individual level, Lee Miles, he says their system has exposed weaknesses in his business, right? Opportunity right under his nose. Just last week, he added $12,000 in commissions he wouldn't have done otherwise. So please, pay attention. I'm going to give you as much as I can in a short time we have together, and then near the end, I'll tell you how you can go a little deeper if you want, and come to my breakout. A few other ways you can go a little deeper. So there are 10 basic strategies, 10 things you can apply to your practice to help you get more referrals. Are you ready? Hope you're ready to take a few notes here. And I'll go deep with a few of them. Strategy one is have the right mindset. We're going to talk about that. Your beliefs, your thinking, your awareness around referrals are critical to you seeing the opportunity and then acting on that opportunity. Upgrade your referability. As I mentioned, getting referrals without asking for them is a barometer of your referability, right? If you're not getting referrals without asking for them, then there's something missing. It could be from your initial process, the value proposition that you bring quickly in the relationship, or it could be from how you're staying in touch or not staying in touch with your clients over time, right? So we got to upgrade our referability, and that alone will generate referrals without asking for them, right? Promoting introductions. How we can be proactive, stimulate the possibility of referrals, word-of-mouth introductions, without really asking, right? There's some easy ways to do that, and I'll give you some of those this morning. Asking for introductions. A lot of people are afraid to ask. In the breakout, we're going to go deeper on that. Diffusing referral objections. What happens if someone doesn't want to give you a referral? Do you know how to explore that? Do you know how to back off gracefully, confidently, professionally? A lot of people don't ask for referrals because they're afraid of the objection. And if you fear the no, you won't do what it takes to get to the yes, will you? And so we miss the opportunity there. Turning referral into an introduction, making sure that it's not just a name and a phone number, but we actually get connected to those individuals. Setting appointments to stick, and I found that how we set appointments from a referral prospect is different than how we set an appointment from a different type of prospect. And I've seen this happen so many times. So many financial professionals will get a referral, they'll even get introduced to this person, and then when they get on the phone with them, they kind of follow the same script, the same methodology, same thing as if they were calling a lead. And they really miss a huge opportunity to leverage that relationship, that trust that exists in that existing relationship, right? We need to create advocates from COIs like CPAs, attorneys, etc. Target marketing is a great way to build a business. It's easier to get referrals within a niche, within a target. Employees within a specific company or business owners in a specific industry. Right? When you do that, what happens? You become more referable because you know their world more, better. You know the weaknesses in their benefits package, or you know their cash flow in their business. And so you actually bring more value to the relationship when you target a niche. Carol Holm, the first woman to ever lead New York Life in sales. The year she led New York Life in sales, $840,000 of first-year commissions. Not a bad year. She lived in a town called Blackfoot, Idaho, 10,000 people. In a town of 10,000 people, she generated $840,000 of first-year commissions. How did she do it? She had a niche. There's a nuclear power plant in Blackfoot, Idaho, and that was her target market. That was her niche. She became the advisor of choice and did exceedingly well because of that. Easier to get referrals in a niche. And then maximizing event marketing. You know, there's some people that will play the traditional referral game. You ask for referrals, you get a referral, right? There's some people won't do that, but they'll be happy to bring a friend, a guest, a family member to an event that you might put together. And so we need to have both as part of our toolkit to maximize our introductions. So this morning I'm going to talk about the mindset and promoting introductions, and in my breakout I'm going to get deep into asking for introductions as well as turning the referral into the introduction. All right, so that's our agenda for the rest of our time together. So let's talk about your mindset. And I've adopted a phrase I call the perpetual revenue system. I didn't invent the dynamic, but I kind of gave it a name. And all of you know what this means. You get a client, right? You serve them well. You get a referral. Then you turn into an introduction. Then you set the appointment, and hopefully you make the sale, right? And then what happens? You serve that client well, and then they give you a referral, and you turn into an introduction, appointment, and make the sale. And if you continue this, what happens? Not only does your business grow, but your business grows exponentially because one client can give us to two or three or four or five people. And so if you just think in terms of this cycle of perpetual revenue, you can create a very easy, systematic flow. You never have to worry about where the next prospect's going to come from because you have this pattern going for you. And it's all about your mindset. So, first of all, some people believe if I just serve the heck out of my clients, they'll give me plenty of referrals. That's a half-truth. There is some truth to that. We do have to serve the heck out of our clients. We do have to do a great job to create that referability and trust and value and all of that. But usually that's not enough. Sometimes we don't get enough of the right kind of referrals. We don't get enough, right? We have to go the next step and be proactive. It's not just about service, which is critical, but there's more to it than that. Have you made a decision to build your business based on how people want to meet you? Have you made that conscious decision, I am going to build my business, grow my business, based on how people want to meet me? Not what feels most comfortable to me at the moment, but how people want to meet me. And we don't have to guess about this, because there's been studies done of how people want to meet you. Schwab did a study about this, and the kind of folks you want to meet, right? 88% of them want to meet you from a referral, from a friend, a family member, a colleague, a CPA, an attorney. Right, Russ Allen Prince did a similar study. 84% of the folks you want to meet you from a referral. Right, yet most financial professionals are stuck in that 16%. Right, doing seminars and buying leads and doing mailings and all that sort of stuff that might seem easier, but it's certainly not as effective. Right. So my question for you here is, are you dabbling in referrals or have you made a commitment to referrals? And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know if you're dabbling, don't you? Or you know if you've made a commitment. You know if every day your actions and your words and your thoughts are engaged in trying to get introduced to folks in an appropriate manner. Or if you just, look, we all know what to do with a referral if we trip over it, right? We've got to have a process in place to make sure it happens, right? So we want to make sure referrals and introductions are no longer an afterthought, no longer icing on the cake. They've got to be part of your main marketing plan. I believe we need to make the decision to build a business based on how people want to meet us, right? It's the way we do business. Boy, I hope you're giving referrals. I hope you're looking for ways to connect. One of the best ways for you to show up with value to other people that you meet is to make connections, right? To give. Finish this phrase for me. As you give, you receive. It's true in all aspects of our life, including business and the referral part. Yet, A lot of people are reluctant to give referrals. I was doing a session for an agency last week, and a woman said, I don't like to give referrals. Do you think that's hurting me and my chances to get referrals? Yeah, right? To give a referral, to make a connection, one human to the next, is there a little risk there? Do we take a risk when we connect people? We do, don't we? Because we don't know exactly what's going to happen because humans are involved, right? So how are we going to help our clients take that risk with us to connect us if we're not willing to do it ourselves? There's a disconnect. One of the fastest thing you can do to start creating referrals is to start giving referrals. Be a connector. Look for ways to connect other people, right? And, of course, having a process. And through this morning and this afternoon, I'll give you a process. And it goes kind of like this. If you played pool, you know what I'm talking about. You got the cue ball, the four ball, the side pocket. You're aiming the cue ball to hit the four ball in the side pocket. You're trying to make the shot, right? But you're also trying to do something else. There's kind of a parallel activity going on. What else is going on? You want to set up the next shot, right? You want to leave the cue ball in position to hit the seven ball in the corner pocket. One shot leads to the next. I think that needs to be our attitude towards client acquisition. Meaning, we bring a prospect into our world. We turn them into a client. If it's a win-win situation, we make the shot, and that's good. That counts. But if we don't have a process to leverage that, where's the next client going to come from? Wishing and hoping, not a good plan. For some of you, we may need to turn that referral wishbone into a referral backbone. Right? So what we found with referrals is that the trust of one leads to the acceptance by many. Right? Referrals are borrowed trust. When we borrow that trust to one relationship, we can earn our own trust in that new relationship, and one client leads to two, and two to four, and four to eight, and our business grows geometrically. Now, one of the things this slide represents is the generations of referrals that can occur in one's book of business. I hope you keep track of that. It's a very powerful thing to do. All of these people are related, not necessarily by blood, but by the referral process, right? Andre Duffy, financial advisor in Wilmington, Delaware, about a year ago, put together kind of a unique client appreciation event. At the event, he had 25 people representing six generations of referrals. Everybody there was part of the same lineage, same generation. He had the initial referral giver and then subsequent generation, et cetera. So everybody there saw that they were helped or helped others through the referral process. And that's about building a culture of referrals in your business. Getting referrals is not just about asking for them. It's building a culture of how you do business and what you celebrate and what you talk about. Right? I like to have a little fun here. We can see what fits here for you guys. I blank to get referrals. Just call it out. What fits here for you? Anybody? Love to get referrals. Thank you. What else might fit here? Hate to get referrals? No, please, Bill, don't tell me that. Right? That means you'll have to work more and you can't cycle as much, right? Right? If you were paying attention, you might say give to get referrals, right? Let's try this one on. Forget to get referrals. Anybody there? Yeah. When someone tells me we're having AV fun this morning, aren't we? Oh! All right. Well, I lost it on my screen. So we'll just go with the other screens. All right, no problem. So let's try this one on. Expect to get referrals. Do you agree with me that going into any kind of situation, expecting a certain outcome increases the chances of that outcome happening? True? Yeah. Now, first of all, I don't recommend you say to prospects and clients, I expect you to give me referrals. I think that would be a mistake. That's kind of an old methodology that I think should die. But it's an attitude that we bring. An attitude of confident awareness, right? We know we serve people and families and individuals. We know that. That's the confidence we bring to the table. And then we have the awareness of the connections, right? With a referral mindset, from the minute you meet someone, you're paying attention to who else they know, right? Who else do they know? First of all, it's just good in building relationships. You also become a better advisor because you find out who else is affected by their financial decisions. And at some point, you may get to get introduced to some of those people, right? So we have that mindset of confident awareness. Think of an Olympic diver before he or she dives off the diving board. They come to the edge of the diving board. They look down, and they close their eyes. What are they doing? Visualizing, Right? Somebody said praying. Yeah, I probably would do that too. But they're visualizing, right? Athletes do it. Musicians do it. Do you do it? Do you expect to get introduced to people? Right? Is that your mindset? Have you made a decision to build your business based on how people want to meet you? Right? We all know that trust is the most important ingredient in making a sale. As I said, we have to show up trustworthy. So let's meet all our new prospects starting at the highest point of trust. Right? And I found the trust necessary to gain a new client is here, and the trust necessary to get referrals from them is here. It's an even higher level of trust. So let's meet them through a referral to begin with. Right? Al Fox. Sorry, I don't have my computer to look at, but says gave us. He said, we gave you the permission slip to make referrals about our value. See, the way referrals have typically been taught in this business, some of you have learned this. In fact, how many of you learned this phrase when you first got started in business? Let me tell you how I get paid. I get paid in two ways. Anybody learn that one? Yeah. Please stop doing it. Let me tell you why. Now, I understand that the motivation behind it is to try to kind of foreshadow and create the possibility for referrals later. But let's think about it for a second. You barely know them. They barely know you. There you are. We know that people are private around finances. They're also quite often a little more reluctant to give referrals when personal finance is involved, right? So here you are, brand new relationship, saying that you get paid in referrals, that it's almost an obligation of the relationship. Is that going to decrease or increase the tension in that first sales call? It's going to increase it, isn't it? Right? So the good news is, and I'm about to give you some, there are ways to accomplish the same goal without increasing tension in the relationship. That's what he means about making it about the value. Think about when you get a referral without asking for it. Why did that client give you a referral? Well, they saw value in the work you did, right? If they didn't see the value, they wouldn't give you a referral. Let's not make it about us and how we get paid. Let's make it about them and the important work we do for them and for other people in their life, right? And Robin Wolf has been in this business for 24 years, right? She says, I'm having fun with this. We re-energized her business because she finally embraced the possibility of referrals and introductions, and she's doing great, and she's having a blast, she said, right? So as we start to get a little more proactive, I want to share I've had a lot of lessons in referrals over the years. So when I graduated from the University of Maryland, go Terps, I was 22 years old. I had a degree in sociology, which is worth I don't know what. I was shy, lacked confidence, right? No apparent skill. So I took a job in sales. Why not, right? And my first job was selling home improvement services. Not a very sophisticated situation. I'm 22. My sales manager, Larry, is 23. Some of you can relate to that, right? And so it was my job to watch him run appointments for about 4 weeks, and then it was my turn to run appointments, and he would watch me. Right? So I'll never forget my first sale. Very nice home in Bethesda, Maryland, suburb of Washington, D.C., near where I'm from. I had driven that evening, so I got ready to start the car, and Larry put his hand on mine and wouldn't let me start the car. I said, what's up, Larry? You want to debrief or something? Actually, Bill, you forgot the most important thing. I got the contract to sign. I got the check to sign. What did I forget? You forgot to ask for referrals. Ah, you're right, and you're good at it. I'll tell you what. Tomorrow I'll call the homeowner, see if I can get some over the phone. Actually, Bill, I was thinking it would be a good training exercise if you get out of the car now and go back in and ask for referrals. Now I'm thinking this guy is nuts. He wants me to do what? So we get into an argument about why now is or is not a good time to go back in and ask for referrals, right? In the meantime, the downstairs light goes off. The upstairs light goes on. They're getting ready for bed, right? Finally, Larry says to me, Bill, if you don't go in there and ask for referrals, I'm going to lay on the horn. It's going to probably blow the sale and wake up the neighborhood. And tomorrow you could be looking for a new job, your choice. Whoa. Well, I didn't know any better, and I needed the job, so I got out and rang the doorbell. Sir, I'm sorry to bother you, but my sales manager, he's a maniac. Says, if I don't ask for referrals, I could lose my job. Now, what saved me in this predicament, thank goodness, is this guy was a sales manager. So not only did he appreciate me asking for referrals, wishing his sales reps would do the same, he appreciated the courage, if you want to call it that, for going back in and asking for referrals. He says, come down, come over here, son, sit down, I'll help you out. Gave me three great referrals, names, phone numbers, information. He says, Bill, don't call these people in the morning. Call them in the afternoon because I'm going to call them in the morning and let them know who you are so they'll be warmed up for you. I said, well, great, thank you. Three great referrals for a new job, and I took one. We do not condone Larry's style of management, do we? Pretty heavy-handed, even for back then in that industry. But he did give me a gift. He gave me the gift of awareness. Boy, that's a powerful gift. After going through that, I don't ever forget about referrals. Now, sometimes I decide now's not the right time, and that could be a legitimate decision. I have wimped out from time to time over the years because I'm human. But I don't ever forget. And what I'm trying to do today is, in a kinder or gentler way, create that same awareness for you, and so that you're always thinking about this and you never miss the opportunity. You may decide now's not the time. You may wimp out. That's fine. But let's try to take forgetting off the table. All right? So let's dive deep into a strategy that'll get you referrals without even asking. Right? I call this the value discussion. Some of you are familiar with my work. I met a couple of you as we were coming in. One guy said he was here because of me. Who was the gentleman who said, "I'm here because of you"? Thank you. I hope it's worth it. We'll see about that. You let me know afterwards, all right? So why do most business folks, salespeople, customer service reps, businesses in general, not check in with their clients or customers? I mean, I think about in my life, when people ask me how did it go, when I check out of a hotel, which I did this morning, you know, how was your stay? Everything okay? Yeah. When I put my car in for service, usually get a call from a teenager, how was the service experience? And if I had a complaint, she probably wouldn't know what to do with it anyway, right? Kind of robotic-like, right? But otherwise, it doesn't happen much. A few years ago, I decided to buy a hot tub. And I went to a place in Rockville, Maryland called Hydropool, and I met a nice young gentleman by the name of Alex. Said he'd be helping me out that day, and I brought one of my books on referrals. I said, "I just want to let you know, I'm kind of in the sales business a little bit. I wrote a book on referrals. I wanted to give it to you." He says, "Well, thank you very much. Are you like a sales trainer?" And I go, "Well, kind of." He says, "This isn't a test, is it?" I go, no, I just want to have a little fun." "Oh, okay, that sounds good." Right? So we had some fun. We're talking about hot tubs, referrals, sales, hot tubs, referrals, sales, hot tubs, referrals, sales, having a good time. About 35, 40 minutes into the conversation, he says, "Bill, you know, based on what we've been talking about, I think it's time I go for the close." I said, "Alex, give it a shot and let's see what happens." So I bought a hot tub. Now, I never heard from Alex after that. Right? Now, think about it. Didn't check in. How was the installation? Now, who's not going to be happy with a hot tub, right? And you'd think if there's one person on this planet that you might ask for referrals, it's the guy who's built the business based on the whole thing, right? No, nothing. So why do people not check in? Well, I think it's a couple reasons. Either they're afraid of a negative response, which is not a good way to run a business, right? Because if there is something not working, we better find out about it. Or they haven't incorporated it into their process. And maybe they're related. Maybe they haven't incorporated because they're afraid of it, right? So having this value discussion will reveal problems that may exist, which is important to find out if something's not working. It will bring the value to life as your prospect or client talks about the value they found in the meeting, in the process you put to them, in the relationship that you've established with them. They get in touch with it. It becomes more clear and more real to them, and then it generates referrals, sometimes without even asking, right? So from Ann McCollum in Phoenix, she said, "The very first time I used Bill's value strategy, a client volunteered a referral that led to a $1.3 million client." She didn't even ask for referrals. She just did the value discussion. The value discussion will vary depending on where you are in the relationship. So if it's a brand new relationship, you may say, "You know, we've talked about a lot of things here this evening. What stands out is the one or two most important things we discussed." Right? Could be as simple as that. Could be delivery of a policy or a financial plan. We've been through a process to get to this point, have we not? Can you tell me the value you feel you've gotten from the process, right? On a review meeting, you might say, "You know, let's put the market aside, let's put the economy aside, let's talk about something we can control, which is our relationship, our communication. Anything not working?" Once you have an established relationship, I think it's important to say something like this. Anything not working, anybody missed the ball or dropped the ball, right? Harvard Business Review reported a study that said, if a client does not rate you as completely satisfied, they're a candidate to move their business somewhere else. They didn't say mostly satisfied, they said completely. If there's a gap between where they are and where they want to be with you, In that gap is where they're a candidate to move their business, and you may not be referable if that gap's big enough, right? So we got to bridge that gap. We got to find out what's going on. So we start off with anything not. Now, I don't recommend that early in a relationship. This is more like at a yearly review kind of thing, right? Anything not working. Anybody brought trouble. Now, most of the time, you're going to hear really good stuff. But every now and then, you're going to ferret out a little something that wasn't working that you didn't even know was there. And if you don't ferret it out, what happens? It festers sometimes and can hurt a relationship down the road. Creates that gap, right? And then what has been working? How have I earned your loyalty over the years? Right? Now, you have to use your words. It should be, you know, genuine for you. But that's the essence of the check-in, right? Karen Tyson in Houston. She insisted my partner, Gil, add the words value discussion to the agenda. Gil did so, and without even asking for referrals, the client gave us a referral to an individual with $3 million of investable assets. Just from the value discussion. Didn't even ask for referrals. Didn't even promote a seat, right? Let me show you a case study of a group I worked with in Louisiana. 41 financial advisors went through the program. Afterwards, the manager offered a $250 travel and entertainment incentive if they held 12 in-person value discussions within 6 weeks. That's all they had to do. In 6 weeks, 12 in-person value discussions with prospects and clients. 16 advisors actually completed the assignment on time, and these 16 advisors generated 132 unsolicited referrals, 8.25 referrals per advisor, just from the value discussion. My friends, this is the most important thing that I teach in my entire system. Please start checking in more. Right? And I'll give you a little way to be a little more proactive, but just this alone will make a big difference, right? The value discussion, value check-in. And I don't have time for this. We'll tell that in the afternoon story. All right, let's just keep going. Let's talk about promoting referrals. Let's talk about how you can be proactive, what you might say following a value discussion, or even if a client says something really nice to you, right? My guess is you're hearing nice, good things all the time, are you not? Your clients are saying nice things. Thank you. Thanks for going to bat first. Thanks for explaining how that works. Thanks for solving the problems. You ever had a client say to you, always feel better after we talk, or, you know, you're much clearer than the last person I talked to? You hear this stuff, do you not? So what do you do with that stuff, right? Do you leverage it? And I'm going to give you some ways to leverage that. So this is a phrase I've been teaching for a long time. Don't keep me a secret. Simple little thing. Goes into their unconscious. Later, they're talking to a friend, family member, colleague. They're talking about personal finance. You're their advisor. They think of you, and don't keep me a secret. Kicks in. This one also can turn into referrals right on the spot. I'll give you a few examples. Nick Davidson, I met Nick a little more a year ago in Minneapolis. He says, since I have a lot of fear around asking for referrals, some of you share that, I thought I would just start adding the phrase, don't keep me a secret, on all handwritten thank you notes and saying at the end of meetings. In just 4 weeks, I've received 10 referrals, set 10 appointments, and closed 7 of them just by saying, don't keep me a secret. Nick's in the PNC business. I know some of you in PNC. 10 out of 10, 10 referrals, 10 appointments, 7 closes. That's pretty good, huh? Just by saying, don't keep me a secret. Larry DeNoia, Westchester County, New York, has a client in his office on a Friday morning. Says to her, you know, I'm still taking on new clients. I appreciate you don't keep me a secret. She thought of her sister, who they've talked about before, but something must have changed because it's 6:30 Friday evening. Larry gets a call from the sister. Mr. DeNoia, I'd like to meet with you as quickly as possible. How soon can we set it up? They set the meeting for 10 o'clock Monday morning. At the meeting, she became a client, invested a little close to $1 million with him. He said it was the fastest turnaround from prospect to client he's ever had from a Friday to Monday. He says it pays to say, don't keep me a secret, and to work a little late on Fridays. Let me tell you about Mark Williams. I don't have a photo of Mark, so I drew a likeness. Mark's in Dallas, Texas. Mark had a meeting with a client, says, don't keep me a secret. Client thought of his mother, who had just sold her home. She was downsizing, $800,000 in cash. He starts to work with her, develop a financial plan, discovered she had $4 million with UBS. That money got transferred over as well. He got a $4.8 million client just by saying, don't keep me a secret to the son. I don't know about you guys, but if I were you, I'd try this a few times. First of all, it's not going to hurt the relationship. They're not going to say, oh, I can't believe you said that. I'm moving my money, or give me my check back. Right? The worst thing from don't keep me a secret you'll hear is, sure, we'll keep you in mind. Right? That's about, don't keep me a secret. Don't keep us a secret. Any variation on that, right? Never too busy to see if I can be an additional resource to your friends, family members, colleagues. A couple words I want to focus on. First of all, the words to see. If you're brand new in this business and, you know, you talk to anybody who's breathing, take the words to see out of there because you need the activity, you need the practice, right? But if you're at a veteran and not everyone fits your book of business anymore, then you got to be in a qualifying mode, don't you? So you're never too busy to see if you can be a resource Always want to qualify the referrals you get if you're a veteran. Additional resource. I've been using these words for years. Presenting yourself as an additional resource makes your approach to them non-threatening, right? You're being proactive but soft at the same time. And it's a great combination to present yourself as an additional resource, especially if you're trying to approach very high net worth, wealthy individuals who often use more than one resource in the financial world, right? So you're not threatening the existing relationships. You're just trying to present yourself as an additional resource, right? If I ran into a prospect for you in your business, how would I know it, and how would you like me to introduce you to them? Just anytime you run into anyone who's also looking for clients or customers for their business, just present a genuine willingness to make connections, right? A genuine willingness to give referrals. And if you had a genuine willingness to give referrals and make connections, do you think every now and then the law of reciprocity would kick in and someone would do the same for you? Yeah, except for with CPAs. They were born without the reciprocity gene. But that's another seminar for another day. No offense to any CPAs in this room, but we know that CPAs are very risk adverse. And just because you give them referrals doesn't necessarily make you referable, right? That's another seminar for another day. Now, two of the main reasons why people don't give referrals is they're concerned about confidentiality, and they don't know how you're going to handle it, what it's going to look like. It's a risk, right? It's an unknown, so it's a risk. So one of the most powerful things you can do to generate referrals without asking is to teach your clients what it would look like if they did think of someone, right? How you would handle it. So let me demonstrate this for you. Thank you. I need to pick on a friendly face, and I can't think of a friendlier face than the gentleman says, I'm here because of you. So I'm going to give you a copy of my new book, Beyond Referrals. Do you have this yet, Kevin?
No.
Well, you have it now.
Thank you.
You bet. And I'll sign it for you later. And the day I die with my signature, it's worth twice as much as what you paid for it. Now, if you read the thing, you might make a little money on it. So it goes a little something like this. And you can do this over the phone. You can do it in person. You can do it early in the relationship. You can do it, you know, 20 years into a relationship, pretty much any time. And the words go a little something like this. You know, Kevin, something I want to run by you real quick before we're done here. Many of my clients like to introduce me and the work I do to others, and I just thought if that opportunity ever presented itself to you, you should know how I'd handle it, what it would look like, so you feel comfortable. First of all, the work we do, completely confidential. They will never learn about your financial situation from me, and vice versa. Second of all, we handle this sort of thing with great care. I don't like to call people from out of the blue and surprise them and make them wonder, why did Kevin give my name out to this guy? Nobody likes that kind of phone call anymore. I like to work through an introduction. So if you identify someone, you'll shoot them an email, you'll let them know who I am. They're open to hearing from me. Great, we move forward. If not, I back off, no big deal. How's that sound, okay? Thank you. Now, have I asked them for referrals? Not really. Did I promote the possibility? Yeah. And I did it by handling the two main objections, right? Confidentiality and handle with care. Doesn't it make sense that all your clients know how you'd handle it? How many referrals are you not getting? Because they don't know. This is a great little thing you can put on your outgoing voice message, right? You can do this at the break. Please leave a message at the tone. If you're referred to us, please let us know who we need to thank. Now, everyone knows who calls you knows that you get referrals. It's part of your business. It's part of your culture. And you say thank you. You celebrate. Simple little thing. Greatest compliment you can give to me is introduction to someone you care about. This is a photograph that one of my coaching clients sent to me that he has this on a credenza in his office now. And on your email, on a signature file on your email, any one of these. You could take all of these and just rotate it if you want. All right? I've seen people get referrals just from this. Let me tell you. David Saunders, right after your boot camp, I put Don't Keep Me a Secret on my signature file. The next day, a Saturday, a client sent me an email with a note introducing me to a great prospect, and now he's a tier one client. Just by having Don't Keep Me a Secret on the signature file. Right? We got to be referable, and we got to be a little more proactive. I'll talk about asking for referrals at my breakout, but you can start getting referrals just doing some of the stuff we're talking about here. And then have a reminder system. Have some 3x5 cards, let them sit on your desk. Every time you're on the phone, it'll remind you, right? Promote referrals. I got to move a little faster, so I'm going to have to go through there. So here's what we're going to cover at the breakout. We're going to talk about asking for referrals without begging or pushing. We're going to talk about how to deal with the objections if they come off, how to back off with confidence if you need to, and how to turn the referral into an introduction. And sorry, no time for Bill Cates, the drummer. All right. So imagine getting referrals without asking for them. Prospects are calling you, ready to do business. You got a turnkey solution to client acquisition, right? Your income is increasing, right? And you're living a referral lifestyle. I love that boat. It's got a little swimming pool in the back of the boat. Isn't that good? Right? No, it's not my boat. Don't worry. So I have two more ideas that are going to make you money. Great, thank you. I think we're right on time now. I did promise you that I'd tell you about how you can go a little deeper with this if you want to. So give me 30 seconds to just share with you a resource I have here if you have some interest. I have our Referral Champions program here, and it is all the 10 strategies that I listed earlier. There's a video, an audio, and a success guide with each one of those. It's a very robust program. It sells individually on our website for $14.70. Today we also have a referral scripts book, so everything I've said and talked about, and it's all laid out, give you the words that you need, find your own words, help you figure out, you'll never be at a lack of words. And then a very neat tool called the Introductions Journal that people like to bring with them on their appointments, and they record their introductions in there. Treats the process with importance. Those are 217 on the website. And so we got the whole thing packaged here together, and let me give it quickly. So it's only $497, right? So you're going to save over $1,100. And I have them here. I have one here, and then the rest will ship, but no shipping charges. We don't have to worry about that. So if you're interested, just come visit with me. I'll be accessible at lunch. If you have any questions, come up. We'll chat, et cetera, et cetera. All right? Unconditional guarantee. If you're not happy, you get it back. All right. One thing I recommend you do, if you decide to go deeper, is you find yourself a referral buddy. Go in it with someone. Right? Not only will you save some money, but here's the main thing that's going to happen. You're going to go through it with someone else. And when you go through it with someone else, then what happens? You produce better results, don't you? You set some goals. You hold each other accountable. You celebrate your successes. Right? So I hope I see you at the breakout. We'll go deeper with more of this stuff. I want to finish with just a little referral thing that happened to me not too long ago. I got a referral from Joel Rosenberg, referred me to John Hurley. I said to Joel, how do you know Mr. Hurley? He said, well, we've been playing tennis for the last 10 years every Friday morning, standing appointment. I'm thinking, this is a good relationship, right? 10 years of tennis. When I call Mr. Hurley, what kind of reaction, what kind of personality am I going to get down the other line? This is what Joel said to me. Bill, John's a great guy, but don't let him intimidate you. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. A thanks for nothing referral, right? Mr. Hurley, it's Bill Cates. Joel Rosenberg suggested I give you a call. Joel Rosenberg? Yes, sir. He gave my name out again? Yeah, I guess he did. I don't even like Joel. Now, we can think 400 words per minute, so I'm thinking really fast. Plays tennis every Friday morning, last 10 years, standing appointment. Don't intimidate you. You know, Mr. Hurley, quite frankly, sir, I don't think Joel likes you either. I think that's why he gave me your name and number so I can bug you till you bought something. He loved it. He says, son, I don't know who you are or what you're selling. Come on over. I like your style. And now he's a client. I'm out of time, but I'll see you this afternoon. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.